Psalm 1 is an introduction to all of the Psalms. It was an ancient poem that had been written that was likely inserted at the beginning of the Psalms because of what it said. It was a great introduction to all that would follow. The poet here paints the picture of two different ways, two paths. The first path is the path of the one who is blessed, the faithful one. And this is a path that leads to life. The other path is the path of the wicked. This is the path of the unfaithful. This is the path that leads to destruction. And the person who hears the psalm is faced with a choice. They're faced with a decision. Which path will I put my feet on? Which path will I take? And the psalmist begins by talking about the path that the blessed one does not take. Begins really to articulate what this path to destruction looks like. The psalmist says, blessed is the one who does not do three things, who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And what I want to draw our attention to in these three lines is that the poet is trying to paint a picture of a descent into destruction. And we see it in a few different places, actually. First, I want to note how the author describes the person on the path to destruction. First, they call them wicked, then sinners, then mockers. Well, the word sinner here, the first word used, is connected with the Hebrew word for guilty. The sense here is that the person is guilty of a single crime. Then this word sinners that is used second. This word in Hebrew has this connotation of somebody whose feet are firmly planted on a path away from God. And then the third term, mockers. We know in Proverbs that the mockers are those who are furthest from repentance. See, these are those self-righteous, arrogant know-it-alls who can look down their nose at other people and say, well, that's wrong. You're doing that wrong. Well, if only you would be like me. It's this place of pride. And in this place of pride, there is no need for God. Because the prideful have put their place in the place of God. And so there's this descent into the destruction from somebody who is guilty of a single offense to somebody whose feet are firmly planted on a path away from God to somebody who has no need for God. And can I say I have found myself on every step of this path. I found myself on every step. How about you? That I have found my feet firmly planted on a path that's away from God from time to time in my life. But this descent into destruction is also highlighted in another way. The poet, and it's wrapped up in the action that the poet ascribes here. First, the poet talks about walking in step, then standing in the path, and then sitting in the company. There's a settledness to this progression. Walk, stand, sit. There's a settling in. There's a slowing down. In fact, the last line here, to sit in the company in Hebrew, could be translated as to make your home. To make your home in this place. See, what we see happening here is there's a descent into destruction, a making our home in the place. And what I think that the poet is doing is he is warning God's people, don't make your home in the wrong places. Don't be shaped by the wrong things. Don't settle into a worldview that has been shaped by people opposed to God. This is the psalmist's warning. a warning of settling into a worldview that has been shaped by people who don't know the Lord. And this has got me thinking all week. Where are you making your home these days? What's shaping you these days? What's shaping the way that you see the world? What's shaping the way that you act at home or at school or in the office? What is shaping the person that you are becoming these days? You see, whether we like it or not, we are a product of what we take in. We become the things that we give our hearts and our minds to. We become the things that we meditate upon. See, the old adage is true. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. That we become the very things that we take in, that we give ourselves to. My wife and I, we got Netflix a number of months ago. And Netflix is amazing. There are so many shows that you can pick and that you can watch. And so we didn't really know where to start. So we took a suggestion from a number of friends and they recommended this show. And we started watching the show. And can I say, the drama in the show was amazing. It had me hooked. It had me drawn in. When I watched the show, I felt something. And I loved that. I loved that this show would evoke something in me. But the thing about Netflix is you get to watch a whole series night after night after night, right? And so you can burn through a whole series in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks just watching it over and over and over again. And there was something about this show that was dark. There was something about this show that just seemed unhuman. And I realized that as I began to feast on the show night after night after night, there was something stirring inside of me saying, Keith, you're being shaped here. Do movies and TV shows, do they do this to us? Do they? Like, do the things that we choose to meditate on, the things that we feed ourselves with, the things that we spend our time doing, the conversations that we have. Do these things shape us? I mean, something has got to be molding us into the people that we are becoming. And I believe that we are what we eat. You see, I don't think that there's anything wrong with television or movies or books. There's nothing wrong with being in deep personal relationship with people who don't know the Lord. There's nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves. Of course there isn't. But here is the challenge for God's people. I think that we have become so engrossed with these things that they are what shape us. That these are the things that are shaping us. If you are what you eat, perhaps you and I should think about what we dine on. The psalmist moves on to talk about what God's people dine on. Blessed is the one, he says in verse 2, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That God's people, they feast, they feed themselves, they are shaped by God's law. And some people, when they hear the word law, they get this negative image in their mind. Sometimes there's this idea in church floating around that law is bad and it's opposite to grace. That on this side we have the law, and this is the Old Testament God who makes rules and regulations and is very angry. And then over here is Jesus. And he's very kind and loving and forgiving. And then we try and make sense of how these two things fit together, that they're the completely opposite. Well, this is the wrong understanding of the word law. See, when the scriptures here refer to the law, they're talking about the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible here. And if you have ever read through the first five books of the Bible, you will know that they are not all about regulations. In there, we do hear God's word. God is speaking. God is telling his people how they should be shaped around him. But when we hear the word law, we need to think of two things, I believe. First, we need to think of God's word, because this is God's spoken word. He's acting in history. He's speaking into history. He has laid down his word. But it's more than that as we read the first five books of the Bible. As God speaks, he's outlining what it looks like for God's people to live. Some parts of Judaism would call the law the way, that this was God's way. It was the way God wanted his people to live, because he wanted his people to be a reflection, a picture of him in the world. And so the Torah was God's word, and it was God's way for his people. And so when the psalmist says, "Blessed is the one who meditates on his law," for our purposes this morning, I want us to think about blessed is the one who meditates on God's word, scriptures. And blessed is the one who meditates on God's way. We meditate on God's word and his ways. This is the path of the blessed one. Friends, God's people do not feed at the same trough as the unfaithful. They feed from a different table. They feed on God's word and his ways. See, the word that the psalmist uses here is to meditate. And often when we hear this word meditate, we think of this really tranquil image of a candle burning in a dark room in some chapel with somebody on their knees just quietly praying, meditate. I have a much less spiritual image. It's the image of a cow. You see, the cow is from a mammalian line called a ruminant. And a ruminant gets its name because of the way it eats. It has a series of stomachs for digestion. And so a cow will graze in the field and it'll eat busily all the grass that it can munch on. And it swallows it and stores it in one of its stomachs. And then it finds a nice, quiet place, where in the tranquil moment, when all is quiet, the cow can spit up the grass and chew it all over again. Chew and swallow and spit up and chew and swallow and spit up until this grass is thoroughly digested that it sent on into the other. I told you it was an unspiritual picture. Until it moves on into the other stomachs. The ruminant is where we get the word ruminate. To meditate on God's word in his way isn't just to eat it in a quick meal and move on with our day. It's to take it in and chew and savor. And at another time to bring it back up and to chew and redigest and to swallow and to do this over and over again until God's word is thoroughly a part of us. That we are to ruminate on God's word. This is what shapes us. Eugene Peterson says this: Christians feed on Scripture. Holy Scripture nurtures the holy community as food nurtures the human body. Christians don't simply learn or study or use Scripture. We assimilate it. We take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, cups of cold water, missions into all the world, healing and evangelism and justice in Jesus' name, hands raised in adoration of the Father, feet washed in company with the Son. God's people ruminate on Scripture. They feed on it, and it gets metabolized into acts of love and justice and healing in the name of Jesus. This is how God's people are shaped. But here's the thing, friends. We so often ruminate on the wrong things. I don't know about you, but I spend a great deal thinking about how amazing I am. You don't think about how amazing I am? I spend a great deal thinking about my own success. I spend a great deal thinking about my own progression in life. And I suspect you do too. The things that my mind often ruminate on are these things. That this is what preoccupies our minds when we're at work or at school or whatever. But I think we also ruminate on good things as well. And that we do this to a fault. That they have become, although they are good things, they have become a preoccupation that get in our way of being shaped by God's word and His way. You see, sometimes we become preoccupied with our school. We become preoccupied with our work or our social life. We even sometimes become preoccupied with raising our family. That these are the things that consume all our time, all our energy, all of our heart and thoughts. That there is no room to ruminate on God's word and His way. You see, I think the problem is in our culture, we believe that reading Scripture or reflecting on Scripture is an add-on to our Christian life. We think that this is something that if we have time, we should do, and it will be good for us. It will enrich us. But what does Jesus say? Remember, when He's in the desert being tempted by the evil one to turn rocks into bread to eat. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is no add-on to our Christian life. This is what shapes us. And what I'm not asking you to do is to add Scripture reading to your life. I'm not asking you to, in your busy life, to find another 15 minutes in order to spend time in God's Word. I'm asking something much harder. I'm asking that you and I and us together become a community that ruminates on God's Word and that we organize our life around that. That all the way we shape our time and the things that we do and the things that we give ourselves to all come from the center of an experience with God's Word an experience with God's living word, Jesus. And that this begins to shape us in how we act and what we do. The psalm moves on to paint this picture of the two paths. The path of blessing. It goes on in verse 3. This person who meditates on God's word, they are like a tree planted by streams of water. They are fruitful. The people who meditate on God's word are fruitful, and their leaves do not wither. They are full of the life that God gives them, and we are told whatever they do prospers. And then in verse 6, it says that the Lord watches over the way of these righteous people. That God is personally present in those who come to his word, and they eat it. Sounds a bit like communion to me. And we'll get there. But this other side of the path, this other path. Well, in verse 4 it says, they are like chaff that blows in the wind. That these are people who will not stand. That they will not stand in judgment. They will not be able to stand even in the assembly of those who are faithful. And the last line leaves us with the cliffhanger. This path leads to destruction. Oh, I have found myself on this path. But God is calling us to be faithful people that feed ourselves with the right things, that shape ourselves by God's word and his ways. And so the psalmist leaves us with a response. What path will we take as individuals? What path will we take as North Shore Alliance Church? You know, you as an individual are shaping the community that we're becoming, right? You might not realize the weight of that responsibility, but it's yours. As it is mine. What path? What are you eating? This is where the psalm leads us and leaves us. So let's just reflect as we sing the psalm again. And then I'll wrap us up.
So not so the wicked. They are like chaff the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand with the righteous on that day.
I'm inviting us as the next step to spend these summer months in the Psalms to be shaped. And if you don't know what that looks like for you, I just really want to make it simple. Pick anywhere in the Psalms and read that Psalm for a week. Over and over and over. Read one line of it. Read the whole thing. I don't mind. God's Word is living and active. I trust that His Spirit will be shaping you as you do. But it's here where the whole message comes to the focal point. As the psalm says, which way are you going to choose? Jesus stands up and says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you're asked, what will you feed on? Jesus stands up and says, I am the bread of life. That as we feed on Jesus, we're given life because His body is broken so that we don't live in death. Jesus is all over this psalm. And as we come to the communion elements that are coming in now, this is what we're invited into. Is to feed on Jesus, because this message is not about adding something, a religious activity to your life, but this is about feeding on God in such a way that He becomes part of us. And in many respects, the communion is a representation of that we feast on Jesus, remembering His death, and He is present in that moment, and He shapes us. And so I invite you to Jesus, the way. I invite you to Jesus, the bread of life, to come and begin and continue your journey of being shaped at this meal together. And when you come forward, you can grab a piece. If you haven't been here, you can grab a piece of bread. It'll be served to you. You just take a chunk and then you can dip it in the cup. And you just take and eat there, remembering what Jesus has done for us. Let me pray. And then I invite the communion servers to come forward. God, I thank you that you are living and active in Jesus. And that Jesus, that you are present here by your Spirit. And I pray, God, that you would be stirring in our hearts something new these days. That you would be making commitments in our hearts to be shaped by you and you alone. And that, Father, you would give us wisdom to know how to walk this path. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the living word, Jesus. And as we come and remember his sacrifice, I pray that we'd be forever changed, God, by what you're doing in us. Spirit, blow on us. Empower us. We love you. We welcome you. And I just invite you to come forward.
You're the holy hands.
My benediction might be a bit unorthodox, but I send you from this place as cows to ruminate on God's word to be shaped to be like Jesus. So that as you go from this place, our world will come face to face with Jesus and be drawn into what he has done to save us. And so go and bless the world in the name of Jesus. Amen.